G'day team, welcome to another installment of your favourite podcast with my favourite business partner, of whom I have only one. Hi, Melissa.
Oh, that's really nice. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, well, Mum used to tell me I'm her favourite kid, her favourite child. I'm like, you've only got one. She said, correct. I said, I don't feel special at all.
Does that make you your her least favourite as well?
Yeah, I'm also the most problematic, the most gifted, the most frustrating, the most bloody joy-giving. I'm all of it. That's the beauty of being an only child, and that's the beauty of being an only business partner. How's your day gone?
It's been good, thank you. How about you?
It's been good. I had Tony Doherty's taken a fucking picture of my hair. Look at him.
Hello, this is one of the three of us, so I can promote our little chat.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, my day's been good. Bit of study, bit of work. I've done two walks because that's what old people do in lockdown. They go for walks. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm a little bit addicted. I'm doing about 10 Ks a day. I'm doing about 12 to 15,000 steps, which I know is not a lot for some people.
You're only a little bit?
Well, Jackie Louder told us yesterday she does 30,000 just to make me feel like shit. But anyway. Fucking hell. You know when you're doing all right and someone goes, yeah, but what about this? You're like, All right then. Righto.
You're only a little bit addicted though?
Well, we did mention on yesterday's show that I got into bed and I looked at how many steps I'd done. I was about to turn my phone off and it said 11,956. So I got out of bed and fucking walked around the bed to clock up at 12,000 because I'm completely obsessed. But it won't last forever. Tony Doherty, are you obsessed about anything or are you just disciplined and focused like a normal human?
No, I'm completely obsessive. I think the only way to get things done is to be obsessed about them. You know, people always say, oh, you're too obsessed or you can't be obsessed. And every successful and, you know, really hyper-successful person I've ever met is completely obsessed with whatever they're doing. And I think it's the only way.
Yeah. I think you're right in that a lot of what we would loosely call high performers, whether it's in business or sport or life or whatever, or the arts, or that they're not normal in that they don't seem to have a lot of balance, which I'm not advocating this, folks, but there seems to be, when we're not in a global pandemic, you've usually got about 16 balls in the air at once.
Yeah, it sort of works for me. And I think the same thing with high performance people, they're obsessed about their success, but then if they go drinking, they're all in, you know, they do that to their heart's content, or if they've got an eating problem, they're really good at that, because they become obsessed with food. So I think if you've got an obsessive nature, you just got to learn to work with it and then to channel it into the better things.
I reckon my obsession came out of the fact that, or my obsessive tendencies came out of the fact that I was so out of control with so many things. I mean, it was never booze and drugs, but I was always out of control with food, and I was always out of control with, like, even at school, I was a shit student. I didn't study, unlike Melissa, who's a fucking genius. But, it took me to be able to completely do a 180 so that I could start to create a new operating system. Because if I wasn't a bit obsessed, call it discipline, call it, I don't know, whatever, I think I would have spent about 40 years just spinning my wheels.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, once you work out what you are, you just got to work out how to work with it. And balance is, an overused and overrated kind of word, because the people that don't have balance look at someone who's obsessed and say, oh, you need more balance in your life. Maybe I don't. Maybe I work better when I'm unbalanced.
but also, like, that's a really interesting term. You think about it, balanced by whose standards? I talk about this thing with corporates TD called work impact, and, you know, like there's a very, very common and longly discussed concept is work-life balance, right? Or historically discussed concept, longly. Did I say longly discussed? Fucking hell, half an academic. And anyway, you know, it's like people think that if there's this kind of equation of this much work and this much not work, then you've got kind of this balance of work and life. And so that's the right number on each side. Therefore, you tick the box and now you've got some kind of sweet spot. But it's ridiculous because you and I both know if you and me are doing 90 hours a week of something that we love, we're in our happy place. We're good. But if we're doing 20 hours a week of something we fucking hate, we're both shit.
Absolutely right. You know, and that's, as you said, it's like balance on whose terms. And it's a really, really interesting concept. It was funny. I filled in the census. Remember we had to do that during lockdown? They probably got the best hit rate they've ever had because every cunt was at home and had to fill it in. So I think that for once I did it. And it's like, how many hours a week do you work? Shit, I've never stopped and thought about that. And I'm like, 80. And they're like, you know, how many hours do you work at home? I'm like, all the rest.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a normal concept to me. So when people say balance, and I think it's interesting too, because, you know, people in this pandemic have found out a lot about themselves, a lot about each other. You know, like I know a lot of people aren't coping in their marriages because the reason that they worked is they went both got up in the morning, went off and did their own thing, caught up for a minute at night and repeat. And all of a sudden they're stuck in the same the same cell 24 hours a day. And like, who are you? This so it's been really interesting. For other people, they've connected better. Other people, they've actually found out they despise each other. So, you know, I guess it's hard not to talk about what we're going through as a society at the moment, as much as I try not to, because we're all in the middle of it. And it seems to be just something that you can take some positives out of or some negatives out of, you know, and it's a crazy time we're going through, and it's going to be interesting to see how we look back at this.
100%. And you've been very outspoken, which I love about you, and you're proactive and you don't sit back and let other people do it. You're fucking leading the charge in Victoria and, you know, even more broadly around Australia, in that you're stepping up and you're talking about the fitness industry and you're challenging the status quo and you're questioning the data. And I love that about you, and I love the courage that comes with that. And you've had a bunch of media attention. You've spoken with Peter Credlin multiple times. How have you found that? Was that through for you necessity because no one else was doing it and you went, well, fuck, I'll do it? Or was it, did somebody push you in that direction? Or how did that come about? Because you seem to have fallen into that role. And
it's interesting, you know, because normally when I do media, you know, with the Arnold or a gym opening or new project or whatever, you know, I'll use a publicist to contact the media and all this sort of thing. So what happened, I think it was at first or second lockdown, I just started sort of posting stuff, and then I did some, you know, to camera stuff where I told a story or did, you know, 5 minute, you know, Instagram video or whatever. And then at one stage, one of the ones I did, which was all about the importance of exercise in gyms for mental health and the importance of community and the fact that people that don't go to a gym don't understand that we don't just go to the gym to flex muscles and take selfies, but it's actually a coping mechanism and maybe the thread that keeps everyone's lives together and how much they look forward to it and all those things. And these videos started going viral. And then the media started hunting me down. And at first it might have been Tom Elliott and then Neil Mitchell on 3AW and then 7 and 10. And then I did this one that had, I don't know, it was like a million views or something. And it was nearly midnight one night and Peter Credlin's producer got in touch with me. She said, Peter's had like 100 people send her this video of you, and she loves, one, your passion, and two, how articulate you are and how well-spoken as an advocate for people's mental health and the benefits of exercise and sticking to the facts and all this sort of thing. She would love to have you on the show tomorrow. I'm like, shit, that sounds pretty good. I know I hadn't really watched much of her show, but I knew she was very popular and had like an army of people supporting her views. And she was one, like, I've done a lot of TV and stuff now, Craig, and she was one of the, continues to be one of the best people I've ever been on with, because it's not like a little grab in the news or a little they take what they want from it. They give me 3 minutes, I talk for 7 or 8, and she just lets me go. And thrives on it, and then always get a message afterwards. You know, she loves having you on the show, and she actually just gives me free rein to speak and to tell the truth and to get on with it. So I kind of just, I didn't start the videos to think, oh, we'll see if we get into the media with these videos. I thought, I just hope someone in the government sees them so they understand what they're doing to business and what they're doing to people's mental health. And then, like most things, mate, it just snowballed.
Mm.
And, you know, I've sort of become a regular on her show, on Sky News, a regular on 7, 9, 10, and particularly 3AW has given me a great run. And I guess then you sort of become the go-to person.
Mm. Well, you're really good at it, mate. And I'm not pissing in your pocket because I was making fun of your head before we went live. So, you know, I'm not going to make you feel good. But, yeah, you are really good at that. You're great. What I love about you, and I think what people love about you, is that, yes, you are articulate and you can string a few words together, but you are genuinely passionate. It's not an act. It's not a role. You understand the industry better than anyone. And you'll say what you truly believe. And also, because you're not all polished, you're not rocking up in a fucking Nike tracksuit, you know, no disrespect to Nike, but you're just a guy who's just sick of the bullshit, and you step up and go, this is where we're really at. This is what gyms are really for. And I think that's part of why it resonates. But I want to know, where do you, and I know you're not a prophet or you don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, we're 18 months in, probably heading towards 2 years-ish. Who knows? Let's fucking hope not. Where do you think that we're at now, other than up shit creek? And what do you think, and I know you know, you don't know, but what do you think's going to happen moving forward with the fitness industry? Because if anybody's got an idea, you have.
Well, to sum it up, at first I don't think they were listening to us at all. And then during the last lockdown, or, you know, two lockdowns ago, whatever, when we came out of the fourth one or the fifth one, I knew they'd start to listen. And one of the videos I did that went viral, and I think I was on Credlin again with it, was the one where, you know, Professor Brett Sutton, the CHO, come out and said that we know that gyms and fitness centres are, you know, transmission hotspots and all this sort of thing. And we know from overseas study that there's been heaps of cases of transmission. And I called him out. So we did a little, did a really good production where we had, we cut pieces out of his film clip where he was saying these things. And then I'd go wrong across, you know, writing across it. And then I would refute everything that he said because it wasn't factual. And I said, well, hang on, there's not been one case of community transmission at a gym in Australia at this point. There's definitely been exposure sites, but there's been no transmission because we're in a sweat business. We know about hygiene. You know, we've had hand sanitizer in my gyms for about 14 years, not 14 months. You know, this has always been standard. We wipe down benches when we sit on them and this and that. And I use the analogy. I said, well, if it's not safe to have people in gyms, because the time before, Craig, they opened retail and hospitality, then we had to wait another 2 weeks. And I'll come back to the numbers on that. And my point was, how come you can have 50 people in a cafe the size of a cupboard? You can't have 50 people in a gym that's maybe 3,000 square meters.
Yeah.
And machines typically take up 4 square meters anyway. So if it's one person per 4 square meters, the place can be packed without being packed because of how much equipment's in it. And I said, well, how about this? Every time someone lies on a bench or touches a barbell, dumbbell, a handle, a lat pull down or whatever, every single person has to spray them now since the pandemic and wipe them down with a paper towel. Everyone has to have a towel and everything else. Now, if you go into a cafe, and then straight away they said, oh, but it's the aerosol transmissions because people are breathing heavy. And I said, well, hang on. What about those mammals that go down Beach Road, flat out on their push bikes, squeezed into their Lycra, sweaty asses, and then they go into a cafe, they sit down on a seat with their sweaty bum. Now, the seats don't get wiped down. The tabletops do. But people then they sit down, they scratch themselves and this and that, and nothing's getting wiped down. Whereas when someone sweats in a gym, it gets wiped every single set. Every exercise, we disinfect.
Mm.
I haven't seen one cafe yet where they wipe down the seats. Mm. And yeah, where I am, it's not far from Princess Park, and people jog around there. They go into my mate's cafe, covered in sweat. Once again, they sit down, you know, elbows on the table, sweaty bums on the seats. They don't get wiped down.
Mm.
So I'm like, hang on. Their quantity of people indoors breathing heavy and sweating, particularly ass sweat, is way worse than any gym in the world. So why are we being treated differently? So we put all this stuff on this video. It got sent, I know it was sent to Andrews and Brett Sutton and the Minister for Health and all that sort of thing. And I said, what we demand, and we won't take no for an answer, is to open the same day as retail and hospitality. I said, understand that if everything else is closed, of course you're not going to let gyms open, but you can't then give us an extra sentence when we're playing by the rules better than anyone else. We've got the best contact tracing system in the world because everyone has to check in. Mm. You know, even when QR codes came in, we were using them long before. For example, Coles here in Brunswick, they only put someone there checking codes last week.
Wow.
You know, and I did some videos on that and filmed the security guards trying to catch some poor little punk stealing a mandarin while 50 people walk in without checking. I'm like, any wonder we're fucked.
Mm.
Seriously. Mm. So anyway, so I challenged Brett Sutton on every one of his points. And right before we opened, Martin Foley, and credit to him, the Minister for Health, he came in and he said, we now acknowledge that gyms are not transmission sites. There's been no community transmission from gyms. Therefore, they'll open at the same time as everything else. And I did have this one little moment where I thought, you know what? We've made a difference. We've had a bit of a win because we demanded that and we got it.
Mm.
Now we're in a situation where Country Victoria opened up on Thursday at midnight and gyms weren't included. So I'm like, now I'm going to have to start this terror campaign all over again. Mm. So you'll see this week I'm going to be putting up some videos and making some demands to the government because basically they can't force our industry to be closed when they're not basing it on facts. Like he said, in other countries, there's been transmission sites out of gyms. Well, how dare he compare us to countries that don't have social distancing and don't wear masks, you know what I mean, and don't check in. Like, we've been compliant. Victoria has suffered more than anyone else, so don't dare to compare us to anyone else. And then he says, oh, we've had transmission here. No, we hadn't. There was one gym out, it was out in Hallam, I think, and it was like an MMA gym where just a group of mates train together and their families have barbecues together and the kids have sleepovers and all this sort of thing. And a couple of the guards from one of the quarantine hotels where the government really stuffed it up went there and there was some transmission, but it wasn't a commercial gym.
Mm.
There was no membership tag. There was no checking. There was no, you know, a COVID marshal or hygiene stations or anything else. So, and nothing against them, but don't say that's part of the gym industry because it's not. So I refuted every fact he said. And then started to put a letter together to them to say, if you keep basing our closures on stuff that's not factual, then perhaps we should test this in court.
Mm.
Because you can't tell us. See, all through this stuff, they've said, we want you guys to listen to the science and to base everything on facts. Okay, we have. Now you have to as well. You can't be hypocritically say that. Now look at this. Victoria last week hit the shitty milestone of 200 days closed and now the longest city anywhere in the world of closures. You know, gyms, I think we're at 278 or 280 days closed today.
Mm.
So, you know, last year we went through all the pain, we all took it and we said, well, at least if we go through it, we won't have to do that in 2021. Well, here we are and it's even worse.
Mm.
And people's mental health's worse. People are not coping. They're not getting the JobKeeper. The business is not getting assistance this time around. And I know literally dozens of independent gyms, sadly, Craig, that won't be able to reopen.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been able to adapt. They haven't been able to get an income. And it's a disaster. So I've got to keep fighting, mate. So this is a long answer, but, you know, I didn't plan to become the spokesperson for the fitness industry. I just told the truth with a whole lot of passion, you know, and with a whole lot of fact and a whole lot of experience behind it to try and get them to understand that this home away from home means so much to people.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a shitty job or a bad marriage or you're getting bullied or you just got no mates or you're just a bit of a fuckhead that doesn't fit in anywhere else, you can come to the gym and everyone's equal.
Yeah.
And you get treated the same. You know, I've got a group of guys come here to the gym, particularly this one in Brunswick, and they get in about 8 o'clock at night, they have a meal and they have a coffee and they go do a body part and they come out and watch the soccer. They're still here at 1 o'clock in the morning. And that is their life, you know. And you know me because I'm an amateur studier of psychology, and I ask a lot of questions to a lot of people. And we'll get to that. But I often try to work out the why. You know, why do people go to the gym? And it's not to change their bodies or to lose weight or to pump up their muscles. Maybe that's initially why they go. But when they go long term, it's because it's the way they cope. It's a little bit of string that keeps their whole life together. And you know, they might be getting, as I said, have a horrible job or a bad relationship or just no mates, but they think all day, you know, if I can get to the gym, everything's going to be okay.
Mm.
And then you can't say, oh, yeah, well, you can go and do that in the park. For example, you know, there's been, from here, there's been, within 300 metres, there's been three women murdered at night. You know, one of them in Princes Park.
Mm.
So you can't just say in the middle of winter to people, oh, okay. You know, for example, if you're a frontline emergency, a nurse, for example, working all day, you don't finish work till 8 o'clock at night, you need to get some exercise, go to the dark park and run around in the rain.
Mm.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then we've got members here without limbs. You know, we've got a couple of amputee people. We've got one girl with no lower legs and no arms at all. You can't tell her, you need to go to the park and do push-ups and jog on the grass. No, we've got specialised ways and hooks and straps and all sorts of things here for them to think. And I've got another guy, for example, who's been in a wheelchair for 7 years, and one of my trainers has, through this neurotransmission stuff, has taught him, and I put it up on my stories, to walk, and he's taking steps on those treadmills without the motors.
Yeah, yeah.
7 years, and they said he'd never stand up again. He's taking steps.
Yeah.
What do we do? Send Vinny to the park in his wheelchair and tip him out?
Yeah.
So good luck, Vin, in the mud. You know, this sort of stuff really affects me. And I think I've got all these stories. I've got 100 stories. Every gym owner's got 100 stories. Mm. We all know how much this means to people. And I can't stress enough, we're not asking to do it in an unsafe way. We practice hygiene. We have, you know, the best check-in system in the world. But when you look at it, there's been no transmission from gyms, but there's been transmission from supermarkets and bottle shops, even pharmacies, you know, chemist warehouses, and these places, they haven't been closed down. So you can't just say, oh, your industry appears to be unsafe because we don't get it. So we'll just put you into a different category. Get fucked.
Yeah. Oh, mate, look, I love it. And I love listening to you get on your soapbox because it's good, right? It's good. And the truth is, you know, when people go follow the science, my question is, which science, whose science? Show me the research papers. Show me the data. And then, by the way, you know what else is interesting is when it suits them, they'll talk about what's happening in another country. But when it suits them, they're like, well, I don't care what happens in America, or I only care about what's happening here in Melbourne, right? Or like there's this kind of selective process of what they pay attention and who they pay attention to. But I tell you what else fucking blows my mind is, and I'm not a political person, but I am astounded that the chief health officer doesn't come out and say, hey, everyone, what we know for certain is that people who are healthier, people who have got stronger immune systems, people who are fitter, people who are really looking after their body by moving and exercising and good nutrition and great sleep and great lifestyle have a much better chance of a good experience, so to speak, with COVID, and much better chance of living, right? We know that fitter, healthier people, and we're not talking about ego or vanity, we're talking about health, wellness, function, longevity. We know that people who eat great and move their body consistently and go to the gym and work out are not only physically better, but they're emotionally and mentally in a better place too, which means they've got a stronger immune system because it's all intertwined. Psychoneuroimmunology tells us that, right? And also what it means is we're going to have less people impacted severely, less people on less respirators, less people dying if we have a focus on being well. But there's no messaging around being well. There's no messaging around getting healthy. There's no messaging around moving your body, having a great diet, managing your emotions, managing your your immune system. Like there's none of that. It's just like, don't fucking go anywhere. Don't leave the house or we'll fucking fine you.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's infuriating. And the thing is, I think that, you know, and people get really pissed off about vaccination and masks and staying home and all that. And I get that. I fucking hate it. But if the government actually did a little bit more and said, okay, look, we know that wearing a mask is going to give you less chance of catching it, but being fit and healthy is your best shot. Because, okay, let's look at all the biggest corporations in the world, you know, the big, big ones, you know, Microsoft and Apple and Harley-Davidson headquarters. And that. They've got commercial quality gyms in their facilities. They pay for their employees' memberships at all the top companies in the world. Why? Two reasons. One, better productivity. Two, less sick days, because fit people generally don't get sick. This is a fact. And you're right, Craig, they don't talk about it. All they talk about is all these rules and this and that. And look, it's really interesting. You said earlier, when do I think that we're going to come out of this? Well, I think the message is pretty clear from the government, as they're obsessed with people being vaccinated. And I've got mixed feelings about this, because every time I talk about it on one of my question things, you know, I get a whole lot of people hate me for saying it. Well, you ask me what I think, I'm going to tell you what I think. That's how I'm wired. But I'm not pro-vax or anti-vax, but I do believe in choice. But at the same time, the government's very clear with their messaging. So, you know, I had people here at the window. We'll talk about my window in a minute. But when do you reckon you're going to open? I go, they've already told us when 80% of people are vaccinated. So once again, I try to ask people the why. I go, why are you not getting vaccinated? Oh, they'll say, because I listen to both sides of the science and I'm just, you know, don't trust it. I go, I've talked to surgeons, professors, doctors, people who own medical clinics that all got vaccinated, and you're getting your info off Facebook or my brother's cousin knows someone who works at a hospital and this sort of stuff. Okay, I get that, but it doesn't change the fact that they're not going to let us open the gym until 80% of people are vaccinated. Or the shops or the nightclubs or anything else. It's not my rule. I'm not making the rules. I'm not supporting it. I'm just saying this is what they've clearly said. Therefore, when are you guys going to get vaccinated? So it's not really the science when I get into their minds, right? It's not that they're anti-vaxxers. Mm. You know what it is? They're Aussies. They go, I fucking don't like being told what to do. They're forced to do it. And I'll just fucking, I'm going to wait until I really have to. I'm going, well, then we're not going to open until Christmas. Now, I'm sorry to say to you all, but that's what they've clearly said. And it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't help. And all these people, well, I'm going to go to the next protest. I go, well, we're just going to get another month. And to the people that protest, I'm all for it. But why don't you all fucking do it when we're open? Right? Mm. Instead of saying, we'll do it when we're not allowed to leave the houses, fuck them. We're going to get pepper sprayed and punch cops. What about you guys? Wait till we're actually allowed to be open and organise, and I'll come. Organise a protest to say, hey, we don't want any more lockdowns, and we're going to do it legally while we're allowed to be everywhere. And you'll get 200,000. Instead of getting 2,000 people ready to punch on, you get 200,000 people there. You've got every business owner there. There's got to be a way. And you've got to think outside the box and go, okay, well, this is not working. So what can we do? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm always think that saying, don't worry, focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. And I think collectively, we've got to keep the pressure on the government. We've got to call them out when they tell lies. We've got to call them out when they don't tell the truth or they don't, for example, spread the message out a little bit. Say, well, we'd like you to wear a mask. We think you should get vaccine, but you should also watch your diet. Maybe drink less, maybe move more, eat less, keep yourselves fit, keep your immune system strong. And this is part of the message, probably the most important part of the message that's missing. Like you said, they don't do it. They just fucking stay home, we'll fine you, this and that. And I understand people's frustration with not being, you know, vaccinated. But what it's doing is it's giving us what we're calling a medical apartheid, right? And I put up what my questions on Insta last week, and I had like 20 or 30 people ask, you know, are you going to let unvaccinated people into your gym? And I think my answer to it got a little bit mixed up because, you know, I had a few people say, well, you're a sellout. And my answer was, everyone's welcome at Doherty's gym. They always have been. We don't have any limit on race or religion or height or weight or sexuality or anything else or vaccination. But if they bring in a law that says that that's the law of the land and I have to choose between having my place shut for another 6 months while people don't get vaccinated or letting the 80% of people in that are vaccinated, fuck, man, I just want to be open. I hate being shut. Yeah. And my members need to come here. So I'm not saying get vaccinated, but I'm saying if it comes down to that and you choose not to, well, maybe it's your turn to get a shitload of tin food, stay in your house and let everyone else out for a while. I mean, that's what the French president came out and said that. He got to a point, he said, look, we've had a free vaccine program for everyone. If you've chosen not to do it by now, well, we're just going to say it's your turn to stay home. We've had our home attract attention. You guys do that. We're going to get back to living. Show your tick. Now, no one wants to live like that, especially me. I'm not a fucking cop. I don't want my members to have to show me something on their phone on the way in. I don't even like the QR codes. But if that gets us through this and into a better year next year, then bring it on, because we've just had 2 fucking years of our lives stolen from us. Yeah, we're not getting any younger. And people, mate, people are self-harming. People are dying. People, you know, are topping themselves because they don't want to live live through this shit. You know, some of the strongest people I know are really, really broken.
Yeah.
And I guess I've just tried to be a voice of reason for the ones who are losing their voice and losing their light and losing their strength and go, well, I've got plenty. So maybe just by me doing this, I'll make a little difference.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got to here, Craig. I just fucking bad, 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 you know.
Mate, I love it. You know what I love? I love that you're just honest and real and that it's not filtered and you're not trying to, you know, you're just speaking from the heart. You know what's interesting is yesterday we spoke with Jackie Lauder, who's a well-known sports psych in Melbourne, works with Collingwood Football Club, the men and the women and Melbourne Storm and a bunch of others. And we had a very grown-up conversation essentially about, you know, the psychology of pandemic living, right? And it was all very grown up and positive and responsible. And then, and she wouldn't mind me saying this. And then we finished and we wrapped up and then we were just talking. And the first thing she said when we stopped rolling was, she goes, I fucking hate COVID. And I'm like, I was so glad to hear, because I mean, she's still doing what she does well and but she's just normal. And it's like, here's this woman that's really got her shit together. She goes, I fucking hate COVID. I'm like, well, that's a pretty big group. So, mate, what are you doing? Let's put all that aside for one moment, well, as much as we can. So what are you doing now? Like, you've got multiple gyms. What do you do each day? What do you get up and do?
Well, what I've been doing is keeping my routine, Craig, because I need routine. You know, I just go in the wrong direction. I think we talked about it last time I did a podcast with you. In those first couple of lockdowns, I just gutted the gym, renovated them, did all that. And I've started doing my event center next door, which I've told you about, which I'm still doing. And that's come a long way. And we're getting closer and closer. But every time we sort of just start getting somewhere, that we get put into a lockdown. And then I run out of money. So I'm like, I can do it. But how am I going to pay for the, you know, the fittings or the bar or the whatever? So we're continuing to do that. But you know, isn't it funny that lockdown becomes a fucking a symbol of time? So instead of saying, oh, a week ago or a month ago, I'm like, 2 lockdowns ago, I said, if this shit happens again, I'm going to fucking put a sliding window at the front of the gym, because we've got a protein bar and a coffee shop here, which we've always had. I swing the coffee shop around, do this, move some benches, get a glass guy to come and put a window opening. And I'm going to stay here 12 hours a day and make coffee and tea and protein shakes and sell meals and have somewhere where the members can come and actually catch up with each other, have a coffee, CTD, get a bit of fucking life advice, pat in the back or whatever they need, you know, a little fist pump because we're not allowed to shake hands or whatever it is. So this is really cool. So last Wednesday, it took me 2 weeks to get a glazier here because, of course, they can only have one person on site. They can only visit one place a day, you know, because of all the fright. So what was going to take 2 days took 2 weeks. So finally last, it finished Tuesday night. So Wednesday lunchtime, I slid the window up and I've got a couple of big blenders where we do the really healthy protein shakes. They have WPI and all the best ingredients, all the funky milks and all that sort of stuff, bananas and mixed berries and yogurts and stuff. We've got underbar fridges and ice machines and all that. Slid the window up and thought, shit, if I could do even $300 or $400 a day, it'll stop me from going broke. Because this gym, like the Brunswick one, cost me $5,000 a week to be closed.
Yeah.
And then the city one and Dandenong one, about $3,500 each. That's to be shut. That's not loss of income. That's what it costs per week, even with the discounted rent, which we don't always get, but with rates and insurances and power and the staff that we keep on that are full-timers and so on. That's how far in the hole. So it's like we're losing about 11, 12 grand a week every week. And we've been shut for just on 280 days. So it's not sustainable. So I thought, well, I've got to try and find a way at least to get something in. So I opened the window up Wednesday and we had a pretty good day. Then Thursday, And it was just when we had those three beautiful days in a row, it was even busier.
Mm.
And Friday, mate, I got home, I was fucked. I'm like, I now have more respect for every cook, coffee maker, waiter, hospitality worker in the world because it's so exhausting. So all the people are coming down to see me. You know, they're coming to see, I was going to see Tony and support him. And look, and a lot of it too, I've had a lot of love come back because of all the media stuff I've been doing and the fighting for the industry, where other gym owners have been coming across and you know, buying a couple of protein shakes and a few meals, say, I'm just here to support you. Then on the weekend, I thought, I think Saturday would be busy. And it was reasonably double what I could have ever anticipated. And then yesterday, Sunday, I thought, I'll go in Sunday, if I can see what happens. You know, people go out and have a coffee and get out of the house. And the weather didn't look too good. And we had the best day you could have imagined. At one stage, there was 20 people out the front on the footpath having coffees together. Our whole boxing club that comes in on, they always train together Sunday mornings. They all come down. They had muffins, they had coffees, they had shakes. They stood over the road where the sun was shining. They were there for about 2 hours.
Mm.
See the light, Craig. They just lit up.
Mm.
So this is now my new life. I'm opening at 7 a.m. in the morning. So I'm up at 5:30, you know, do my stuff, get down here, do the prep, you know, put the berries in the bags and the bananas and all that sort of stuff. Open the window at 7. And then I thought I'll go through about 4. But then we get busy at 4, busy at 5. So I've been staying till 6. So it's literally 12 hours a day. I'm doing all the hours myself because, you know, it saves me paying anyone while we've got no money coming in and gives us a chance of just staying ahead of that curve if this thing drags on. People say, well, how long do you think it's going to take? I said, well, as I said before, if they're going to stick to this 80% vaccination before shops, businesses, restaurants, cafes and gyms can open on the same day, they're saying about the 28th of October. So it's been about 7 more weeks of hell.
Mm.
So here's my plan. I'm going to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, just suck it up, fucking eat a bit of dirt and just go for it. And you know what? We talked about obsession before. I'm just going to be the best fucking coffee maker, the best host, the best dishwasher, the best everything I can fucking be. And anyone that comes down here is just going to get a big smile and some warmth and a bit of love because, mate, this has been tough on people and I've got enough for everyone. So this has actually made me happy. You know, it was funny. I got home Wednesday night and two of my kids were at my, maybe three were at my place. And I walked in, they go, look at you, Dad. You look happy. You've been coming home miserable every day. You actually, I was telling them about what happened. They go, look at you. And then I got so many messages, you know, on Insta and stuff when I was doing my little shout outs for the shop and people go, you're back. You've got that light in your eyes again, like you look like you've got a reason. So I'm grateful to have a purpose again because I think in this, you know, you lose not only your community stuff, but you lose your purpose a little bit. You've got to go, even though I make myself get up early and work out and, you know, clean the gym top to bottom every day, I don't feel like I've got a purpose. And then on top of that, we had to, after, you know, cancelling the Arnold last year or postponing it, then we couldn't do it this March. Then we had to cancel all of our bodybuilding shows. So then I had come up with FitFest, which I told you about for November 6th and 7th. We were 50% sold. It was actually selling better than any Arnold we've ever done. You know, everyone was going mad for it. We had all the bodybuilding, powerlifting, strongman qualifiers ready to go around Australia. And two and a half weeks ago, I had to make the difficult call to cancel all the shows again, which was going to be my income for the year. And then to postpone FitFest yet again. And I've had staff on the whole time, you know, paid for advertising, had the deposits out. So it was just like another knife in the neck. I'm like, fuck, again? So now we're doing FitFest next April here in Melbourne. And it's like, shit, I just put, you know, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day for 8 months into that and had to cancel it again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like soul destroying.
Yeah.
And it's not just me, man. Everyone's got a story. You know, a lot of people that have lost their restaurant or lost their nightclub or lost, you know, the family business they've had for years or you know, through the work I've done with Tim Sliger at Vic Active, you know, there's a whole lot of independent gyms that have said to him, they're not going to reopen. They can't. They're already in liquidation or bankrupt or just fucking given up, sold their equipment on eBay and going to go look for a job. You know, and you hear all that, you think, shit, all right. So I've had to cancel a couple of shows, but I'm established enough with our brand that I won't give up on opening the gyms and keeping them open. I'll do whatever it takes. So, mate, if I've got to be, as I said, a barista and a dishwasher for the next, fucking bring it on. Like, give me another year if you want, because I'm not going to quit. And if I could just share that with people, we cannot be defeated. Mm. You know, just look at the human race. Look what we've been through. World wars, the Great Depression, famines, you know, really hard shit that our grandparents and great-grandparents would look at us and go, fuck, you are the softest generation ever. You know, you got to stay home for a fucking year or boo-hoo. Like, stay home. Look at what we've got with Wi-Fi and streaming services and audio books and all this. So my message to everyone out there is you all can fucking complain about never getting time to do the things you want to do. And now you've got all the fucking time in the world. So do the things that you never get time to do. You know, whether it's reading or leveling up with a course or doing some study or just changing your fucking life. Saying, you know what, I always hated my job. I'm going to do a startup business, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to learn to be a better cook. You know, the things I've been doing. Jigsaw puzzle. Sounds as boring as shit. I find it so good for my brain.
Yeah.
And the whole family gets involved. My girl gets involved. The kids get involved. And we have a ball, you know. I binge watch all these things on Netflix. I've been reading again, you know, which I haven't done for ages. I've started writing this book I've always wanted to write. I'm going to do a weekly kind of mentoring thing inspired by you. We might do something together. But things like this that I've always thought, shit, if I had time, I'd do this. And if I had time, so everyone's always used this fucking excuse of, if I had time, I'd do this and this and this. Well, now you've got all the fucking time in the world, champ. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's hilarious. You know what I love? Like, you know, here's a guy who's Arnold Schwarzenegger is his business partner in these shows. You run these generally, not in pandemic times, multi-million dollar extravaganza shows that tens of thousands of people come to, athletes and competitors from all over the world come to your shows. You know, you just do this massive stuff very effectively. You know, you run all your, you know, you run bodybuilding around Australia, you host massive shows overseas, like you travel, you know, and here you are, you're going, fuck, I'll be the dude for as long as need be, washing the dishes and trying to make ends meet and, you know, sweeping the floor and, you know, giving out fist bumps and giving some people some encouragement. So, yeah, you inspire me, mate. I like talking to you because you fire me up. What about, do you have I don't want to know who, but do you have a person? Do you have, I don't mean a partner, I mean a go-to person to debrief? Do you have someone that you can just unload on or share with, or is it just different friends?
Good question. I don't have...
Like, who mentors the mentor, or who coaches the coach ever?
Well, you're probably in the top three. Like, when I reach out to you, I just need a little pep talk, but you've always been there for me. Yeah, I've got a wonderful girl in my life who she actually lives interstate and had to go back when we went into lockdown. She calls me every day and you know, gets a fair debrief. So if you're listening, hi, Em. Yeah, she's been wonderful. You know, I've got my dad, who's always been my greatest supporter and mentor. You can imagine he still does all the bookwork for all the companies. And, you know, he knows when I'm up and down. The first word in a phone conversation, he'd be like, you're all right, mate? You know, I can't put anything over him. I think I do sometimes, but, he knows all. And then, you know, some of my staff and people close to me, I can sort of share some things with. But at the same time too, Craig, I find sometimes I just don't need to fucking talk too much about what I'm not coping with. Or, you know, a lot of people think it's therapeutic to talk it out. Sometimes I fucking hate that. I'm like, you know what, last thing I need to do now is to relive what I just fucking went through all day and talk about my fucking problems, because it's taken me all day to fucking block them out of my head. And it's like, you know, sometimes people go to a psychologist and they become more mental.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they dig up all this old shit that they'd actually dealt with, and then they go, well, fucking here I am.
back. Pretty sure you can't say that, but I know what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, well, I can say it because I'm just, it's just, you know, sometimes I just want to hit a punching bag, go out and ride my motorcycle or lift some weights. And that's how I debrief.
You know, I'm exactly like you. I think it's funny how, like, a lot of people who, what works for them, which might be talking about it, seeing a therapist or a psychologist, all good things for a lot of people. But Melissa and I have had this conversation. If I'm stressed or worried about something, I work through it myself. And it actually makes me more stressed talking to someone about it. And once I've sorted it out, I might share it. But when I'm in the middle of it, it's, and that's not to say everyone should do that either, but I think this idea that everyone needs to manage their mental health or their energy or their mindset following the same protocol is about as intelligent as saying everybody should eat the same fucking food all the time. You know, it's just, and I think that, like, you really understand you. There's one Tony Doherty in the world. There's only one person with your absolute identical genetics. There's only one person who thinks like you 24/7. And
thank you for that.
Fucking hell, imagine two of you, it'd be fucking mayhem. It's already terrifying. But it'd be, you know, the thing is, you know how you work best. And I know that for me, when people try and prod me and, oh, mate, you really should talk about that, I know, I go, no, you should. I go, that's what you want. It's not what I want. I'm good. I'm not pretending that there's no bad shit going on. I'm not pretending it's awesome, but let me just work through it, because your approach is not my approach. And what will make you better won't make me better. And I think that, you know, because you and I have spent a lot of time around you spend your life talking to people. I spend my life talking to people. And then sometimes when it comes to your own stuff, I think we just need some space.
Yeah, you know what? And there's been a couple of times, I mean, I'm an open book, because sometimes I'll share something, and I put up a post a little while about, you know, how I'd had my moments through this, and I was human and I was vulnerable. And, you know, there's been a couple of times where I've just about had a breakdown. It was only, I think it was like 2 weeks ago when we thought this was only going to go for a week or something, and then they go, oh, nah, maybe a couple more months. I got home, mate, I was so flat. And, you know, I'll go home and have a bottle of wine or a cigar or something. I just didn't. I was just sitting outside in the balcony. My son come out and he goes, you're right, Dad? And I was fucking just about having a breakdown. I actually teared up and I'm like, no, man. I said, it's got to me. You know, I said, I'm sorry that you got to see this. I said, but, mate, I've just got to let it get to me for a minute, because this is shit. And yeah. By doing that and admitting that, you know, I didn't need to say any more than that. I got up the next morning, I thought, whew, glad that's out of my system.
Mm.
You know, we have those moments, and it's fucking human, man. But you're right. It's not always just about you need to talk about it. Sometimes you just got to find a way forward. So that's why for me, opening up this window and you know, I'm sure people go, oh, look at fucking Mr. Big Shot. Now he's sweeping floors and making coffees. But I'm so fortunate and gifted and happy and grateful to be able to do this, because I've got a purpose. I think we all need to do something useful every day and to have a little bit of a purpose. And if you can't fucking help yourself, help someone else. You know, it's an important time, you know, just to call someone you might be thinking about. It doesn't mean, oh, you okay, mate, tell me your problems. Might be just go up and tell them a fucking really crass joke or something else. Like one of my mates the other day, little Dave that works here, he fell off his bike and busted his ribs. He said, it really hurts to laugh. Mate, I did my best comedy.
Yeah, of course you did.
Because every time, he bastard. Oh, you know, and this is part of being Australian, part of having mates. It's not always, oh, tell me your problem. Sometimes just ring someone up and give them shit.
Yeah.
You know, remind them what an alcoholic they are or how much weight they've put on or whatever, because that's what we do. It's not always about... It's not always about...
Oh, God, I love you. You are so fucking funny.
All this political correctness, isn't that? But in your... You know, we've all got this small circle of people you just fucking say anything to. They're the ones you've got to look out for.
And
you
know,
I've been making an effort to either go through my phone or my social, whatever, and find someone I haven't heard from for a while or whatever, and just send them a message. And I've done it to you over these, and you've done it to me just out of the blue.
Yeah.
I sent you one... I think it was last year, and go, hey, Hubs, do you realise fucking how much difference you make in people's lives? You fucking legend. You make me smile. I love sharing your little quotes and messages. Every time I do, I know you get an extra 1,000 followers. But people love it because you give. You know what I mean? Straight from the heart, you drop a few F-bombs, which means everyone can fucking relate to it, and it's fantastic. So I think to everyone out there that's listening to us talk shit, you know, you might make a difference to someone else just by giving them a call. Just let them know someone's thinking about them.
Yeah.
Because this is really hard on everyone. But at the same time, we can't let it break us. We can't give into it. We can't be defeated. All right. Or, because then we will be that one generation that fucking failed. You know? And it's funny, you know, on a deeper philosophical level. Someone said the other day, oh, you know, geez, would you want to bring kids into this world? It's who knows what's ahead. And I said, yeah, but I reckon my parents thought that. And I reckon their parents thought that when you know, when cars were invented. I think their parents thought that when electricity came out, and then we worry about the internet. Every generation, you know, thinks, oh God, what's the world going to be like when things are different? Because we only know what we know. They grow up, like my kids are growing up with phones and gadgets and apps and all that, and they're really responsible with it, and they get it, and I go to them for tech advice, but I don't worry for them, and I don't worry for their kids, because as a species, we adapt. We're fucking amazing. You know what? And we'll get through this. It's a pandemic. It's not the end of the world. But it has brought out fucking stupidity in people, selfishness in people. It's brought out, you know, the best and the worst in people. Like, I've had some people, Craig, have been so kind. People that are bringing me stuff to sell at the shop and helping out with meals and my catering mate. You know, just fucking unbelievable people. And then I've run into some fuckheads that are just being all selfish and self-righteous about it with their craziness. And I'm like, I don't mean craziness like mental illness. I mean, you know, just
stupid behavior.
Stupid behavior and opinions and attitudes and saying stuff that doesn't make sense. And then you think, fuck, can this planet just stop for a minute? I just need to get off for a minute. I'll be back, but fucking hell. Yeah. You know, so what I said, it's brought out the best and the worst in people. So have a look at yourself and say, well, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? So I just made it a choice early on to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So I never complain. I'm never going to fucking whinge and carry on. I'm going to say, you know what? Let's turn this into a great opportunity to do something. You know, and honestly, when I opened my window up last week, went home happy and exhausted, and I have every day since, I feel fucking great.
Yeah, it's, you know, so good,
really,
mate.
Really do. Yeah. And then I'll make someone a coffee and I'll see them light up and I think, fucking, how good is this?
Yeah.
Sitting around waiting to watch a fucking news conference. Do you know, I haven't watched the news since Wednesday. I just thought about it then. I haven't given a fuck. You know, I get a news alert on my phone, so I see the numbers for the day and I go, the end. I don't fucking want to listen to Dan Andrews or Gladys or any of them talk. Fuck them. You know, just tell me when we can open, and don't you dare treat our industry different than others, or I will fucking, you know, I'll go all out. I'm not going to stop this campaign to have gyms treated as they should be treated, the same as every other industry, and give us a chance to show you how fucking well we can do it, because we've been doing it for a long time. We're really fucking good at it.
You've been owning gyms longer than he's been running a state. Anyway, mate, we're going to leave it there, but we love chatting with you. If people want to come down and get a protein drink and a coffee and a fucking fist bump and a bit of love, where are they coming to?
Well, it's just at Doherty's Gym, Brunswick, which is 45 Western Street, Brunswick. It's opposite the Barclay Square Shopping Centre. You know, most people know where it is. You'll see the open window with the coffee sign, or Tony Doherty Oz on Instagram. Hit me up. We don't really have set hours. Having said that, I'm here from about 7 in the morning till about 6 in the evening. And just come down. You know, in fact, if you can't afford a coffee, I'll buy you one. I don't give a fuck. Just get out of the house. If you're within 5Ks, like, you know, don't be, you know, breaking the law or anything. Or if you do, just have an excuse.
Say it's a mental health trip.
Just whatever it takes. But, you know, look, you know, do the right thing, but just come down and you know, you get me. You know, I haven't got any staff on doing it. You get a TD experience for the cost of a cup of coffee. And as I said, if you can't afford one, I'll just buy you one. Don't worry about that. Just if there's some way I can help, or if someone needs, just send me a message. I'll try and answer all of them. And I just want to remind everyone, you're stronger than you know. Hang in there and don't take shit from anyone.
We appreciate you, mate. I reckon you might get a few volunteers who say, can I come and do a day a week with you or something? I think you might get inundated with some. I tell you what, if you had that down the road, I would come down and work a day each week for you. I would go make coffee with you and talk shit. But all right, mate, we appreciate you.
We could sell tickets to that.
I tell you, we could do some kind of
just do coffee. A live stream, like a permanent live stream. Really, really letting some home truths go because, you know, it's like we're really going to hold back.
All right, mate. Appreciate you. Thanks for being on the U Project again. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you to both of you. Tony, I have a feeling that your passion is more infectious than COVID. So thank you so much for spending some time.
Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate that. I ain't going to stop. I've got plenty more.
Wow.
Just getting warmed up.
Thanks, everyone. Love you guts.